Okay, good to have each of you with us. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning and we're thankful for protection with a fire nearby. Thank you that we still have power. Thank you that our building has been spared. And Father, we pray for our neighbor who has evidently lost a garage, maybe, and possibly some belongings. Just pray your comfort. Don't know his relationship to you, Father, but maybe you would give us the opportunity as a church to minister to him through this time. We pray for those who are not here, Father, many people not here. We just ask that you'll minister to each one, those who are ill, that you'll bring healing and recovery. Others who are unavoidably detained, we pray your grace and comfort for them and that we will be gathered together again next week. Father, thank you now for your word. Minister to us through your word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, be turning to Titus chapter 3. We are near the end. We're not at the end, but we're near the end. I don't want to get your hopes up too quickly. Book of Titus was written to set in order what is lacking. Paul wrote to the young man Titus, whom he had left in Crete, to set in order what is lacking. I suggested you could remember it as the good works book, because there's so much stress on good works in Titus. I suggest also you could remember it as the So That book. And we've looked at several places where Paul draws an inference, such and such, so that, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. Setting straight what is lacking in our church and in our personal lives, and those are obviously closely related because you are the church. So your personal spiritual life affects everybody else. We are connected as part of a body. Three major motivations, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Secondly, so the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. And then thirdly, so that we may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. Chapter 2, Paul encouraged us, God's grace teaches us four ways we ought to live. First of all, negatively, denying ungodliness and worldly desires. Positively, we should live righteously, sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Thirdly, we should live expectantly, watchfully, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior. I believe it's very near. I believe you ought to be watching for it, expecting it. I'm still holding out for that in my lifetime. I want to go by the rapture, not by death. And then zealously, zealous for good deeds. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 8. What a powerful passage about our great salvation. You could just meditate on that passage and read it over and over and over. Pore over the different words that are used there, the different things that Paul uses to describe our salvation. The grace of God, the mercy of God, God's love for mankind, His kindness. When God's clear message of salvation is being given, Satan in the flesh will try to disrupt the scene. And that's what happened. Responding to problems. Verse 9 talked about doctrinal problems. Verses 10 and 11 talked about interpersonal problems. The command regarding the doctrinal problems, avoid them. Just don't let yourself get drawn in to foolish doctrinal discussions. I suggested three action steps regarding different areas of doctrine. If it's an essential doctrine, hold it fast. If it's a peripheral doctrine, hold it with grace. And if it's a foolish doctrine, have nothing to do with it. Just avoid it. But then there are people problems. There are doctrinal problems and there are people problems. And often they're related because the doctrinal problems come through people. But sometimes there are just people problems who are problem people. Paul talks about a factious man. The word there is hereticos. We get our English word heretic directly from it. The word hiereo, the verb that heretic, hereticos is related to, has the idea of I choose. And so a heretic, we think of it as a flaming denier of sound biblical truth, and that's not necessarily the biblical doctrine, or the biblical definition of a heretic. A heretic, biblically, is a person who is causing division of the church in the church over his own personal ideas and opinions, thereby creating factions and schisms in the body. That idea of he chooses his doctrines and so he's going to cause division because of the things he chooses to emphasize and argue about and fight over. He causes division. That's the main issue with the heretic. Not so much what he believes, but how he destroys and damages and disrupts the unity of the body by lobbying consistently, persistently for what he believes. Command concerning the problem, give a warning. Give a second warning. After first and second warning, reject him. Reject him. Now we've got final comments and instructions. And we're going to be meeting some of Paul's people here. Follow along as I read just verses 12 and 13, Titus chapter 3, verse 12. When I send Artemis or Tychicus to you, make every effort to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Diligently help Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way, so that nothing is lacking for them. What I want to do this morning is just introduce you to some of Paul's friends, that we might get to know them a little bit and see what kind of people it is that Paul commends, that what kind of people Paul used, because the kind of people that Paul used are the kind of people that we want to use as a church. They're the kind of people that God uses. So we're going to look, first of all, at this guy named Artemis. It's going to be a very short look, because we don't know anything about him. We know that he's a friend of Paul. We know that he's a trusted, evidently, friend of Paul. But that's all we know about Artemis. He's not mentioned anywhere else in any other passage of Scripture that we can identify. Nothing else is known about him. He's never mentioned any place else. So the only thing we can infer is that Paul knew him and trusted him enough that he would consider sending him to this difficult ministry on the island of Crete. Remember what the people of Crete were like? Back in chapter 1, there are many rebellious men, empty talkers, deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, verse 10. Verse 12, one of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. For this reason, reprove them severely so that they may be sound in the faith. That's the kind of people that Paul's dealing with, that Titus is dealing with here in Crete. And evidently Paul had enough confidence in Artemis to be willing to send him. Willing to send him. He's one of the two options. The other one is Tychicus. Tychicus we know more about. Come look at a couple of passages with me. Go to Acts chapter 20. These are mostly just going to be places that mention his name and what he's doing. Acts chapter 20, he was traveling with Paul on the return leg of his third missionary trip. Remember, he's been gathering funds for the believers in Jerusalem that are suffering. We're not exactly sure why, whether there was famine or whether it was because of persecution. Verse 4. Acts chapter 20, verse 4. He was accompanied by Sopater of Berea, the son of Pyrrhus, and by Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, of Gaius of Derbe, Timothy of Tychicus, and Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia. But these had gone on ahead and were waiting for us at Troas. So Tychicus was traveling with the Apostle Paul. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. He was traveling with the Apostle Paul, and evidently was somebody that Paul trusted, because remember, these guys are taking a bunch of money that the Gentile churches of Macedonia and Greece had collected for the believers in Jerusalem. And Paul trusts Tychicus to go along with him. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21. But that you may also know about my circumstances, how I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know about us, and that he may comfort your hearts. So we find about Tychicus. Paul calls him the beloved brother. The beloved brother. We don't know when Tychicus got saved. We don't know much about his ministry before this, other than he traveled with Paul on the third missionary journey. Paul is now a prisoner in Rome. And who's with him? Tychicus. Tychicus is with him, so when Paul writes the letter to the Ephesians and is going to send it, who does he entrust it to? Who is the messenger who's going to carry this precious letter that we call the book of Ephesians? Who's the trusted messenger who's going to carry that letter to the church at Ephesus? Tychicus. Aren't you glad he did his work well? The beloved brother. That may feel a little funny to say, I love you, to a brother. Shouldn't. Because in Christ we should love each other. I talked about love, Paul's love for mankind, that it's phileo love. This is agape love. We ought to have that unconditional choice love for one another. If you were writing a letter about somebody else in this church, would you describe them as the beloved brother? Or would you say, oh yeah, him? Beloved brother. This is something that is primarily bestowed, not necessarily earned. Tychicus didn't become the beloved brother so much by what he did as by Paul's love for him. And the fact that he is a brother in Christ. The beloved brother. But notice the second thing he says about him. My beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord. Faithful servant in the Lord. Tychicus had shown his proven worth. Paul would not have entrusted the letter to the Ephesians to somebody that he didn't know how he was going to do. Tychicus evidently had a track record with the Apostle Paul. Back to the travel on the third missionary journey, we don't know exactly what role Tychicus had in that, except that he was one of them that Paul was traveling with that was entrusted a substantial amount of money. And Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, the fact that they were doing all things above board, decently and in honor. They wanted to be completely above reproach in the way they were handling this money. And who was involved with that? Tychicus. The beloved brother. But he's also a faithful servant in the Lord. Faithful servant. Paul knew his track record, and he knew when he was getting ready to send somebody to take the letter to the Ephesians, Tychicus would be faithful to that. That's why he's considering sending Tychicus, possibly, to go to Crete. Go with me to Colossians chapter 4. Evidently, Paul wrote Colossians about the same time as he wrote Ephesians. Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. Colossians 4, 7. As to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother, that's one, and faithful servant, that's two, and fellow bondservant in the Lord will bring you information. Fellow bondservant in the Lord. That's an even deeper level of servitude than the previous word. He's a fellow bondservant in the Lord. So when Paul's going to send these two letters, evidently he sent not only the letter to the Ephesians, but the letter to the Colossians, both in care of Tychicus, because they're in the same general vicinity, Asia Minor, from where Paul is in Rome, that's about the same place. And Paul is entrusting these two precious letters to this man that we don't know that much about, but evidently Paul knew enough about him. Paul knew enough about him to trust him with these letters. And then he says, he will bring you information, verse 8, for I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. Tychicus is the kind of guy that when he comes, he encourages your heart. You have people like that around you. You have people like that around you. I've talked before about the book Gordon MacDonald wrote, where he talks about VDPs, very draining people. You have those people around you? The people that after you've spent 15 or 20 minutes talking to them, you're just exhausted, you need to go down and go home and take a nap. They just drain you. They sap the energy out of you. Oh, but then there are those other kind of people. When you spend 15 or 20 minutes talking to them, you're energized. You're encouraged. You're strengthened. You're emboldened. That's Tychicus. He will encourage your hearts. He may encourage your hearts. They will inform you, the end of verse 9, with him Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of your number. They will inform you about the whole situation here. When Paul has a ministry, when Paul wants to convey a message, when Paul wants to encourage the hearts of believers, when Paul wants two very important letters to be transmitted safely, he asks Tychicus to do it. Beloved brother, faithful servant in the Lord, fellow bond servant in the Lord, he who will encourage your hearts. Don't say anything out loud, but just stop and think. Who in our church is a Tychicus? Who in our church is a Tychicus? And then give some thought to whether anybody is thinking about you. Whether when somebody else here is thinking, who would be a Tychicus in our church? You wonder if anybody is thinking about you? Beloved, if not, we've got work to do. Because what Tychicus is, beloved brother, faithful servant in the Lord, fellow bond servant in the Lord, one who will encourage your hearts, I suggest to you, beloved, we ought to all be striving to become a Tychicus. We ought to all be striving for that. Not that very draining person that Gordon MacDonald talked about, but a person who encourages others. So back in Titus 3, Paul was considering sending either Titus or Tychicus or Artemis. One other passage. Go just a few pages forward from the Titus passage. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Ephesians and Colossians were written during Paul's first imprisonment in Rome. And he entrusted those letters to Tychicus. 2 Timothy was written during Paul's second Roman imprisonment. This time Paul knows he's not going to get out of it. When you read earlier, he says, I finished the course. I fought the fight. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. I finished my course. Paul knows he's not going to get out of prison the second time. Who's with him? Verse 12, 2 Timothy 4, 12. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. That tells us something about Tychicus. That even when Paul was writing his last letter before he knows he's going to be beheaded, he's entrusting ministry to Tychicus and going to Ephesus, where there were false teachers. He had warned the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20 that even from among them their own selves, false teachers would arise. And so who is he sending to minister in that situation? Tychicus. Oh, but this tells us something about the Apostle Paul too. Because if you're a prisoner in Rome and you know you're going to get executed, who would you like to keep with you? I don't know about you, but I'd want a Tychicus with me, somebody who will encourage my heart. And we see the heart of the Apostle Paul, that he was so concerned for the church at Ephesus, then rather than selfishly keep Tychicus with him in Rome, he sent Tychicus to Ephesus to minister there. Wow. Wow. Paul was so concerned for the churches, he put their needs above his own needs. And again, it suggests the confidence that Paul had in Tychicus, that he would send him. So there's a third guy, and he's the guy that we've been talking about, Titus. Galatians chapter 2, Titus went with the Apostle Paul. When Paul made that trip from Antioch to Jerusalem for the Jerusalem Council, remember they were trying to figure out whether Gentiles were going to have to be required to be circumcised or not? Crucial choice they had to make regarding the future of the church. You know who goes with Paul on that trip? Titus. Titus goes with him. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul talking about earlier travels. 2 Corinthians 2:12. Now when I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, and when a door was opened for me in the Lord, I had no rest for my spirit, not finding Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went on to Macedonia. Paul calls Titus my brother. My brother. Titus was the kind of guy that Paul wanted to be with him. And when Paul couldn't find Titus in Troas, even though he had an effective opportunity for ministry in Troas, Paul said, I left Troas and I went to Macedonia because I didn't find Titus, my brother. That's the kind of guy Titus was. The kind of guy that when Paul is maybe struggling a little bit in his ministry, he wants him around. He wants him around. Somebody who's not going to drain Paul's energy in ministry, but who's going to replenish him, build him up. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 6. Second Corinthians 7:6. But God, who comforts the depressed, comforted us for the coming of Titus. Titus was the kind of guy that when Paul was struggling with discouragement and depression, Titus was the guy Paul wanted to be around him. And when Titus came, Paul was comforted and encouraged. You think the ministry of a Titus is important? Who knows what the future of Paul's ministry might have been had Titus not come and encouraged him? I don't know. All I know is that Titus was so important to Paul that Paul went to the trouble of mentioning him. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6, verse 16, verse 23. Titus was with Paul on that third missionary journey when they were collecting the money. I mentioned that Tychicus was. Titus was there too. When they were collecting the money for the believers in Jerusalem, gathering evidently quite a bit of money from the Gentile churches of Macedonia and Greece, Tychicus was there, but so was Titus. Look at chapter 8, verse 23. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you. As for our brethren, they are messengers of the churches, the glory to Christ. Paul calls Titus his partner. What an honor that must be for Titus to be considered a partner, a fellowship person with the Apostle Paul. Sure, Titus was probably younger than Paul. Titus had not been saved as long as Paul had. Paul probably had a mentor relationship with Titus. But he doesn't demean Titus at all. He calls him his partner. His partner and his fellow worker. I think we're beginning to get a picture of why Paul entrusted the ministry of the difficult culture of Crete to this young man named Titus. My brother, who comfort him, partner, fellow worker. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. Second Corinthians 12:18. I urged Titus to go, and I sent the brother with him. Titus did not take any advantage of you, did he? Did we not conduct ourselves in the same spirit? And walk in the same steps? He commends Titus for his honorable conduct. The Church of Corinth, there were some people of the Church of Corinth that were looking for reasons to criticize Paul. And Paul said, bring it on, basically. If you can find anything against me or any of the people that I have sent to represent me to you. Titus, how was his conduct with you? How was his behavior? He was honorable. There's nothing that you can criticize me about in Titus's conduct. Paul had that much confidence in him. Titus chapter 1, we looked at this when we started the book. Titus chapter 1, verse 4, Paul calls Titus, my true child in a common faith. My true child in a common faith. And again, 2 Timothy chapter 4, when Paul was prisoner in Rome. Titus had been with him. Verse 10. For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Titus had gone to another country, a province where Paul wanted somebody to be ministering to, and who did he send? Titus, his brother who comforted him, his partner, his fellow worker, who's commended for his honorable conduct, a true child in the common faith. Back in Titus chapter 3, verse 13, diligently help Zenas the lawyer. Again, this is the only place in the whole New Testament that we can identify that Zenas is mentioned. And we don't even know for sure what this lawyer means. If Zenas, because the name tends to be Greek in form, if Zenas is Greek, then maybe lawyer means an attorney, like we think of a lawyer. If Zenas was indeed a Jew, then lawyer would probably mean that he was a scholar of the law. Either way, Zenas is an educated, qualified person. And Paul is asking the people in Crete and Titus in particular, to diligently help Zenas the lawyer. And then he mentions Apollos. Acts chapter 18, verse 24, Apollos came to Ephesus, preaching powerfully, knowing only the baptism of John. And in Acts 18, Priscilla and Aquila come to him and take him aside privately. They don't confront him publicly. That would have been embarrassing. That would have diminished his impact on the people. They take him aside privately, and they teach him the way of God more fully. Because all Apollos knew was the baptism of John. But he's described as one who is mighty in the Scriptures. Mighty in the Scriptures. Acts, when you get to 1 Corinthians chapters 1 and 2 and 3 later, you find out Apollos is one of the heroes that some of the people in Corinth were following. Some were saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, or I'm of Christ. Evidently, Apollos was respected enough that some people were choosing to follow him rather than the Apostle Paul. Can you imagine? Apollos must have been pretty highly respected. He must have been a powerful preacher. Or they were choosing to follow Apollos rather than Peter. Paul calls Apollos our brother. Our brother, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. So who are these guys? What's the point? Why did we waste this whole morning just looking at these five guys? Some of them we don't really know much about. Artemas, Tychicus, Titus, Zenas, and Apollos. I want to use them to demonstrate a principle. And the principle is that responsibility belongs to responsible people. Responsibility belongs to responsible people. In our church, we have needs. Most churches do. Most churches have far more opportunities for service than they have people willing to step up and serve. And sometimes there's discussion about, you know, who can we get to do some ministry? Who can we get to do some activity or meet some need that we have? And sometimes a suggestion will be made, well, so-and-so isn't attending all that often, but maybe if we give him a job, it'll give him a reason to be there. Anybody ever heard those discussions? Maybe if we give him a job, it'll give him a reason to be there. That's exactly backwards, folks. You don't create responsible people by giving them responsibility. You identify responsibility. You identify responsible people by those who are already taking responsibility, and you give them more responsibility. You give them more responsibility. People that Paul ministered to and people that Paul used are people who had demonstrated faithfulness already. Paul was picky who he trusted with responsibility. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2 with me for a minute. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, we have kind of a model for discipleship. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That would include teaching, passing on the truth of the Christian message, the teaching, the content. But there's more to discipleship than just communicating content. Go to chapter 3 with me. 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 10. Now you followed my teaching. Okay, there's the content. Oh, but look what Paul says. Verse 10, 2 Timothy 3:10. Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions and sufferings such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of all of them the Lord rescued me. Verse 14, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Wait a minute, from whom you have learned them, is that significant? Absolutely. We teach content, yes, but we also teach example. And Paul was saying to Timothy, Timothy, you've learned the content, but you also followed my example. You saw the example that I gave you. And now Timothy is going to be setting that same kind of example. He goes on, verse 15, 2 Timothy 3:15. That from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Verse 5. But you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. I quoted this earlier in during the communion service. Philippians 4, 9. The things you have learned and received and heard, don't miss this, and seen in me. That's the power of the example of a godly life. The power of the example of the godly life. These people had seen these things in Paul, and Paul had seen these things in the people that he's commissioning, that he's entrusting with these different ministries. So let's find three applications. Three applications. Number one, responsibility needs to be earned and deserved before bestowed. We won't take time to turn there, but jot down 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, Paul gives qualifications for elders. And beginning in verse 8, he gives qualifications for deacons. And in verse 10, 1 Timothy 3:10, Paul says, "And these likewise must also first be tested." Because deacons, and when he says likewise, he's referring back to the elders, need to be tested first. You don't put somebody in responsibility to try to make them become responsible. You put people in places of responsibility who have demonstrated that they are responsible. Responsibility needs to be earned and deserved before it's bestowed. Oh, I love this. Jot down in your notes, I'll read it for you. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. Hebrews 6:10. Who else would have known about Artemis? Who else would have known about Zenas? Hebrews 6:10. But God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. There are no nobodies. There may be people that the world doesn't know about, Artemis, Zenas, but God knows about them. God knows about them. There are no nobodies. You feel like a nobody sometimes? Feel like nobody cares about you? Nobody knows about you? Beloved, God knows intimately. We talked about that before. I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Verse that Doug referred to. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God is with you. You're important to him. You're important enough that God sent his son to die on the cross for you. You're not a nobody. Finally, God's looking for faithfulness, not fame. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. We talked in the Bible class about Matthew 25. Matthew 25, we have that phrase, well done, good and faithful servant. God is looking for faithfulness. God isn't impressed by fame and worldly acclamation. God is looking for faithfulness. God wants you to be faithful on your job. God wants you to be faithful in your family. God wants you to be faithful here in your church. Five men Artemis, Tychicus, Titus, Zenas, and Apollos. What powerful examples we have for us of men who had earned responsibility, men who otherwise were unknown, but God knew about them and Paul knew about them, men who demonstrated faithfulness for us. May we follow their example. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that your word does indeed give us instruction about the kind of lives that please you. Father, may we learn from the examples of these five men we've talked about this morning. May we learn from their examples to demonstrate faithfulness in all that we do, as beloved brothers, as faithful workers, pleasing you, Father, most of all. Thank you, Father. May we leave here more strongly committed than ever before to serving you with faithfulness. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. May God's grace be with you.